Exodus chapter 24. What happens next? What is it? What's going on in chapter 24? Just in a literal story sense.
So the blood sprinkling.
Now building the altar.
That before or after the blood sprinkling?
Before.
Okay.
Now receiving instruction.
After the blood sprinkling? Anything actually happening in the blood sprinkling? What's the instruction about, I suppose? 24?
Do you mean the commandments?
Sorry, what's that?
The sign of the covenant and the giving of the commandments.
Reading of the book of the covenant.
Is that annoying? I'm just saying, is that annoying?
Okay, let's move on. Exodus 25. What's it about? What's going on in this chapter? Exodus 25.
It's the instructions of building the.
Well, what's the first thing? Definitely want to do it in order.
Giving an offering.
Right. Offering. And it's quite specific.
Yeah, it's all the materials.
There's materials. So then we have instructions for what?
How to build the ark.
And then the candles.
Paraphernalia. What's after the ark?
Mercy seat.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's
part of
the ark. And then the table.
Yeah.
The lampstand.
And then dishes and pans and pitchers and bowls and all that stuff.
Lampstand. And utensils. Okay. In chapter 26.
Tabernacle itself.
Just something that occurred to me about Exodus 24 is the mountain.
And the vision.
Sorry.
We didn't get the vision of God.
Saw
God in the middle of it.
Where do I put it?
In the cloud.
I think it was it before or after the sprinkling? After the sprinkling of blood.
And then I've got a reading of the covenant here.
That's before the blood.
Before the blood. Let's get it right now. We're reading the covenant. Covenant word. Then sprinkling of blood. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
And then the vision. It's not really a vision, they actually saw God.
Well, the cloud covered the mountain. And then Moses goes up the mountain too. The mountain. One of the things that strikes me about it is you have this distance here between the divine and the people, and Moses acts as an intermediary between the two. But at the start of the chapter, the mountain's actually not referred to. The first reference to the mountain in this chapter is verse 4. And he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain. Right, so at first, it's like the mountain is not there. And then we have... So there's nothing really, there's no basis for anything. And then there's the foot of the mountain. And then the mountain comes in later. And so that when the mountain actually comes in, verse 12, the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and be there." That seems very significant to me because he didn't say that before. He said to come up to the Lord before. But come up to the mountain and be there. It's like there is now a real tangible connection. There's a grounding for the connection between the people and the divine. That's what I'm seeing there. So it reflected for me, I was talking about this at dinner the other night, it reflected for me a couple of stories in the Word, and one of them is Jacob's ladder. That truth comes from good. Right? So truth, it's a descending thing. But the appearance to us is the other way. The appearance is to us is that we understand what is good. And we do understand what is good by learning what is true. So we have to sort of build a foundation under ourselves in order to actually ascend, in order to actually appreciate what's going on. So there's the appearance of up, and then there's the down. Now, you've got the same thing, Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. That's the creation of the spiritual man, the creation of the celestial man. The spiritual man is looking from truth to find out what good is. Whereas the celestial man, in being in good, sees the truth, which is the real way it is. But we've just got to build this foundation under it to get there. Now, then once that foundation is there, we have Moses is there. He's being with the Lord. And then he's able to receive a pattern for the Lord to live with the people. So that's just a bit of the process I saw going on over these few chapters. Okay, but I just got a real sense of building something in order for this tabernacle, this dwelling place of the Lord, to reside with man. Dave?
Yeah, I was thinking so at the start, you know, the divine truth can be, or truths can be quite airy. You know, and it's not
until in the clouds.
Then it has to be concretized in some way. So that's sort of the process that's going on.
Yeah, to really bring religion down into life. And make it real, give it a foundation. What is a tabernacle?
A tent.
Tent. What do you do with a tent?
Roll it up and carry it.
Stretch it.
You go inside.
You go inside, and what do you do there?
Sleep.
Shelter. You live in it.
Yeah. You just rest think if it's got an annex, a bit like
you rest in peace in it. What about that?
Yes.
What you were mentioning this morning about snake primary, and you know, that struck me very much from the Hebrew reference. So I was thinking, has it got an annex? Primary.
I'm glad you just tweaked my memory. I wonder which one is the real tabernacle. Because in Exodus it occurs twice. There's the pattern that we've got here, and then there's the actual building that isn't there as well. From what I remember of dipping into those sections of the Arcana, Swedenborg then goes, he sort of glosses over it a bit, said, oh, well, we've dealt with that before, sort of thing. Because he's dealing with the meanings of all this stuff here, where the pattern is given. Now, if we take the reading, the Hebrews reading, then the pattern is the real one. The physical making of the thing is the copy.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. It's like the ideals, what God tells them they should build.
Yes.
It's the sort of.
Yes.
It's like an internal and an external.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
but it's the internal one, I think, that is real. Sorry, Joe.
That's okay. The end is the most important part. The end, the aim, the goal, the plan.
The end.
Everything else follows from that. Yes. Everything that actually has to get you there, which follows, is being instigated by that end, by the plan.
And you will see, as we go through, and I can't give you specific references, but there is reference a couple of times, I think, that says, and you will do this according to the pattern you've been given or the way it's been shown to you.
On the mountain.
On the mountain.
Yeah, 25:40.
Yeah. Here's one in 27 as well, actually. Just, you shall make it hollow. It's talking about the altar of burnt offering. As it was shown to you on the mountain, so shall you make it, shall they make it. So, yes, there's the pattern, and then there's the copy, which is the actual physical object of the thing. Julian made an interesting comment introducing his chapter that he felt, sort of, thank goodness that I don't have to deal with all these quantities and materials and stuff, which I had the opposite reaction, of course, actually getting this chapter and thinking, oh my goodness, I've got all these quantities of materials.
Survivor in the room.
But I mean, look, actually reading it was quite interesting. Reading what Swedenborg says about it, as I've already waved this book around, I used this and I found it quite useful in terms of coming to understand what it is he's talking about and giving concrete examples of, you know, how this might work out in our lives or what it might look like. You're sort of giving it a bit more form. So what I've done, I've got two sheets for you to look at. I'll hand out in a little while. One of them is a very, very brief summary of the AC material, which is why it's probably useful to have a copy of AC with you, because you may, it really only refers to it. And you may want to dig into it and actually read the text, so we've got that. But then I've also got a sheet which gives you some of the things out of here. Things like, and it strays into Dave's chapter yesterday, the materials and what they correspond to and that sort of thing, and the curtains and the construction of those. Dave, you can say something?
No?
Good. So, bearing that in mind, it is very particular about the way it's made. I do want to read the chapter. So, it's all about the tabernacle. Can we do a round the room thing? Read five verses each or something like that? Is that okay? Bearing in mind, we've probably got different translations in front of us. So, from the top of 26, Wayne, do you mind starting?
How far do I go?
Five verses, will do.
Okay. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen and blue, purple, and scarlet thread, with artistic designs of cherubim, you shall weave them. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. And every one of the curtains shall have the same measurements. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another. And you shall make loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain on the selvage of one set, and likewise you shall do on the outer edge of the other curtain of the second set. 50 loops you shall make in the one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is on the end of the second set, that the loops may be clasped to one another.
And you shall make 50 clasps of gold, and couple the curtains together with the clasps, so that it may be one tabernacle. You shall also make curtains of goat's hair, to be a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. And 11 curtains shall all have the same measurement. And you shall couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves. And you shall double over the 6th curtain at the forefront of the tent. And you shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain of the second set.
And you shall make 50 bronze clasps. Put the clasps into the hoops and couple the tent together, that it may be one. The remnant that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the back of the tabernacle. And a cubit on one side and a cubit on the other side of what remains of the length of the curtains of the tent shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle, on this side and on that side, to cover it. You shall also make a covering of ram skins, dyed red for the tent, and a covering of badger skins above that. And for the tabernacle you shall make the boards of acacia wood standing upright.
Each frame is to be 10 cubits long and a cubit and a half wide, with 2 projections set parallel to each other. Make all the frames of the tabernacle in this way. Make 20 frames for the south side of the tabernacle, and make 40 silver bases to go under them. 2 bases for each frame, 1 under each projection. For the other side, the north side of the tabernacle, make 20 frames.
And there are 40 sockets of silver. 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. For the far side of the tabernacle, westward, you shall make 6 boards. And you shall also make 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle. They shall be coupled together at the bottom, and they shall be coupled together at the top by one ring. Thus it shall be for both of them. They shall be for the 2 corners. So there shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board.
Also make crossbars of acacia wood, 5 for the frames on one side of the tabernacle, 5 for those on the other side, and 5 for the frames on the west, at the far end of the tabernacle. The centre crossbar is to extend from end to end at the middle of the frames. Overlay the frames with gold, and make gold rings to hold the crossbars, and also overlay the crossbars with gold. Set up the tabernacle according to the plan shown you on the mountain.
And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was shewed thee in the mount. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twined linen of cunning work, with cherubims shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon 4 pillars of shintim wood or acacia wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, upon the four sockets of silver, and thou shalt hang up the veil under the tashes, and thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony, and the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place.
And you shall set the table outside the veil, and a lampstand across the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen made by a weaver. And you shall make for the screen 5 pillars of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be gold, and you shall cast 5 sockets of bronze for them.
Thank you. Any reactions or questions, comments, anything?
It would be good to have a picture of it beforehand so that you can, as you read it, connect it to the image.
It's quite hard to imagine, isn't it? Yeah. I certainly found that reading. It is very difficult to visualise, and that's the first thing I tried to pull this off the shelf for. See, I was looking for pictures exactly for that.
Especially the King James Version is very difficult to
Yes, absolutely. That was interesting.
It still doesn't help altogether, because just a few weeks ago I happened to be looking at this, and in the Dom notes, I think it's got a picture, and still... Still, you couldn't actually fully comprehend what it was saying. It was too hard. It really was.
Yeah. From the architect to the builders, it doesn't quite get there, does it? Trying
to build the Maybe we're supposed to have our own interpretation in our own minds. Mm. And it'll all be different, and that's the way it's meant to be.
Yeah, yes. I think Hollywood's probably to blame for some of the ages.
I've been rather intrigued at these parts of the Bible where, you know, mostly people don't read them because they're so tedious, basically. But if you do actually discipline yourself to actually study it, and what happens, I think, Elizabeth, is your own imagination starts to take over, and you know, it can be quite a wonderful experience. You know, you don't necessarily sense what the spiritual reality is there on a conscious level, but somehow it gets into you, and it's very rewarding when you can actually do manage to work your way through it, because you know the rest of the Bible is so much easier to read. You know, you sort of go over it more superficially, I think. But these can really be something special.
Any other thoughts or comments or questions?
Well, it looked like it would be a lovely, lovely structure or place to go into with all the beautiful purples, scarlets, gold laden handles, hooks.
Yeah.
Yes.
It seems to have an obvious inner and outer, one of the few places where in the Bible the inner and outer is really made clear. Yeah. The inner being so much more glorious, the outer is more natural and rougher.
Yeah, it's curtains and all the gold in the middle is just totally gold. Yeah.
That's
getting a glimpse of heaven sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's reflected in Solomon's temple, which of course goes to replace the tabernacle in due course, because on the outside Solomon's temple would look quite plain in a lot of ways, and it's not that big and impressive, not like the temple which succeeds at Herod's temple, which was like considered the eighth wonder of the ancient world. Solomon's temple was much smaller in scale, but if you went inside, it would have been jaw-dropping because of the fact that everything was covered in gold. It would have been unbelievable. But yeah, you know, the sense that, you know, this must have been a special place to go into.
For the very few who were allowed in. One priest and the innermost.
Any other thoughts or things you want to raise? No?
A couple of things jumped out at me in my reading, and I guess things I'd like to refer to later. One is the divisions within the tabernacle. So there's a couple of veils they're referred to as in different places. I wonder if anybody noticed the difference between the veils. There's a veil dividing the most holy place from the holy place, the holy of holies from the holies. And then there's the screen on the, which is basically the door to the whole structure, which leads out into the courtyard.
So the cherubim being...
That's the one with the cherubim.
The cherubim, yes. Yeah. The cherubim are there on the inner veil, but not on the outer one.
So it's like a vestibule area, maybe.
Yeah, in a way, it is, yeah. Is everybody aware of what used to happen in the various parts of the tabernacle or the temple and the frequency with which that would happen?
I think that the priest went in once a year to the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
Was it every day they went into the holy place to burn incense?
Yes, I think so. That's right. So that's a daily thing, but yes, once a year... The high priest, and only the high priest, in special robe, would go in and offer atonement sacrifice in the most holy place. Yeah, that's right. So, and that was referred to in the Hebrews reading. Okay.
And then the birth of John the Baptist. His father's, that was her turn to go into the...
Yes.
To do the incense offering.
Not to do the holy, but.
So the difference between the veils was interesting to me, and the other thing was the furniture. I'm intrigued that the furniture is designed, or the design is given before the tabernacle. So. It's very definitely there to house something. Okay? And then, of course, as you go on, there's more furniture given, and there's the design on the courtyard as well. So it's all there. And there's... What is the furniture? If we take... Okay. So there's our tabernacle. There's the dividing line. There's the screen. What's the furniture and where does it go?
Well... The ark goes in the Holy of Holies.
So, yeah, we've got the ark.
And then you've got the table on the...
North side.
What's on the ark?
Oh, the mercy seat.
The mercy seat. Then what was the next thing?
The showbread table.
On the north side. We've got the table.
And the candlestick on the left side.
So we've got this little altar thing.